Good to see all of you this morning. Appreciate so much your interest in our class. I was mentioning a while ago that we've been on our study for about 2.5 years, 2 years, thereabouts. And comments made, well, that's a long time. It is a long time. And I hope that we've had opportunity to learn some things maybe that we didn't know before, and perhaps to call to memory some things that we had learned that will become a part of our lives from this point forward. In our study this morning, I want to likely complete our review of the history and geography study, and time permitting, perhaps even introduce some things that might be helpful to our next study, the study of the book of Acts. The plan is at this point that on Sunday morning I will continue the study of the book of Acts, and then on Wednesday evening, Chris will present some material studying the life and chronology of Christ. Very fascinating study, I'm sure. Looking very much forward to that. I asked you to last time to familiarize yourself very thoroughly with about three maps. It was pointed out to us Wednesday night that this map is on the front of some of your lesson books. Some of you have an older version of the book that doesn't have this map, but it'll be very helpful to you, and I'm glad that in the reprints of the book, this map is on the front of the book. The things that make places important are the events that happens there. And, of course, the things that we have been studying are related or simply the scheme of redemption. And I want you to go back in your Bible and remember Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, where sin is introduced. And then in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, we read of the first redemptive promise that is made regarding how the head of the serpent would be bruised. Now, again, if you're studying with somebody and you certainly want to begin with that passage in your beginning phases of the study, but you also need to note that if that's all that we had revealed from God, then it would be very difficult to know anything about the scheme of redemption. We know that the head of the serpent was to be bruised, but from this point we are then told how that would come to pass. And all of these events of history display unto us the great scheme or plan of God to bring that about. And so we want to understand that and be able to identify the places where significant things occurred on our map. Now, in our last study on Wednesday night, we looked at some of these maps and we talked about some of the locations, and we're going to just simply put them on the screen. I'm not going to redo all of that from our class Wednesday night, but to know where some of these events or some of these places are. We talked about Rome. We talked about Nineveh. And Johnny, can you tell me the significance of the city of Nineveh?
It was one of the largest cities in the world at the time, the capital of Assyria, and where Jonah was sent, the prophet, to go preach before they were destroyed.
All right, very good. Babylon. We talked extensively about Babylon. Jenny, what can you tell me about Babylon? That's good. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Does it still exist? No, it does not. Johnny, when we talk about the city of Nineveh being the capital of the Assyrian Empire and conquering the northern kingdom, what city did they conquer that marked the fall of the northern kingdom?
Samaria.
James, when did Samaria fall? All right, 721-22 B.C., depending upon what source you're reading from. When we talk about the city of Jerusalem, where is it located, Bruce? We saw that right to the north and to the west of the Dead Sea. And Antioch of Syria.
It's located down by the Jordan River.
All right, here's Jerusalem, Antioch of Syria. Why in our study is Antioch of Syria, Donna, so very important as we come to New Testament times? Antioch of Syria, what occurred there? Very important. All right, somebody help her out. Pardon me? All right, that's Christians called, disciples called Christians first in Antioch. He said, yeah, all right, that's in Acts 11, verse 26. But we also note that in Acts chapter 11, we read of the first church that is composed essentially of Jews and Gentiles. And there's another important thing about the church in Antioch. What is it, Jared? Antioch of Syria. What started there? All right, that's where the missionary journeys began, from the church in Antioch. Ephesus, we see that up in Asia. Ephesus, where do I read about the establishment of the church in Ephesus, Randy? Acts chapter...
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I did.
Acts chapter 19.
All right, 19 is where we read about Paul's... second visit, beginning there to the brethren in Ephesus, Acts 18. He stopped there just for a short period of time. Much of his work then in Acts 19 and 20. Corinth. Now, on our last map, Corinth was misplaced. We didn't know where Corinth was. The writer of our material put Corinth at Athens, and Corinth is not the same as Athens. So we've moved Corinth to the place that it is rightly to be. Athens is over here. Corinth is just to the west of that. We have the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians written to the brethren in Corinth. The church in Philippi. Tell me the significance of the church in Philippi, something that makes it rather unique, Carolyn. The church in Philippi. I'm picking your brains. I know that. You remember when Paul was in Troas, he saw a man from Macedonia and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Okay? Where did Paul first begin to preach in Macedonia? That would be at Philippi. And as he first began to preach in Philippi, he developed a very close relationship with these brethren in Philippi. To the extent that as he traveled from Philippi, even unto Thessalonica, now that's a key expression, what did the brethren at Philippi do for Paul? They supported him time and time again. And we've talked about that to some degree. Alexandria, we saw that down in Egypt. Shushan, James, tell me about Shushan. All right, that's where Esther was. We also know that's where the palace was for the Persian Empire. Yes, Esther was there. We know that Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king here in Shushan during the time of the restoration. Damascus. Damascus is in the northern end of the land of Palestine. Damascus became a very important city on these trade routes, as you remember, that made the land of Palestine so very significant. The Tigris River, Bruce, the Tigris and what other river were so significant to Bible lands? Tigris and Euphrates. That's right, the Tigris and the Euphrates. Jake, tell me why the Euphrates River was so important to the land of Palestine. It marked a distinctive boundary. What was it? Euphrates. This takes us all the way back to Genesis, chapter 15. All right. Well, that may be true. That wasn't the point I was looking for. But we know that when God spoke to Abraham, He told Abraham that I'm going to give you this land from the river Euphrates to what river down here?
River of Egypt.
The river of Egypt. So this land was to belong to Abraham. Now in Genesis 15, we know that when Abraham came into the land, he found that other folks were living there, and they weren't so inclined just to say, "Here, Abraham, take our land." And so Abraham asked the Lord, "How do I know that this is going to be mine?" And what did the Lord tell him? Juan, you remember? "How do I know that this is going to be mine?" Somebody, help me out.
"I'm going to give you a son."
All right, "I'm going to give you a son." And how many sons is it going to take to get that land? Four generations. Four generations later, this land is going to be yours. Well, we know that Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. His sons were Jacob and Esau. And how many sons did Jacob have? 12 sons. And one of them wound up in Egypt. Who was he?
Joseph
was, yes. And we find that Joseph sent for his family, and they came down to the land of Goshen down here in Egypt. We'll talk about it in just a moment. The Jordan River connects what two seas? Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Just north of the Sea of Galilee, we have Mount Hermon, which reaches an elevation of about 10,000 feet. And of course, waters spring up at the foot of Mount Hermon and flow into what became the Sea of Galilee, and then flows southward. And by the time that it reaches the Dead Sea, what's the elevation, Richard, of the Dead Sea? Thereabout, negative 13 plus 100 feet. So we find that from 10,000 foot elevation on the top side to the surface of the Dead Sea, about 1,300 feet below sea level, what does that tell you about the flow of the Jordan River? At times it might be rapid, yes. It meanders around quite a little bit, but it has certainly the potential to be very swift. The Nile River. We saw that in Egypt, and we noted that the Nile River is about how long?
1,200 miles.
I think it's further than
that.
I think it's a little less than that. Check that out. I thought that was about 2,000 miles, if I'm not mistaken. You can ask Gertrude there how long is the Nile River. But I think it runs a little further. But be that as it may, longest river, and of course notice that it runs to the north instead of to the south. The Dead Sea, we've located that already. The Red Sea, we've seen where that is, down here in the southern portion of our map. And then we talked about these two gulfs, the Gulf of Suez on the northern tip, and then the Gulf of Aqaba on the other side of the Red Sea or the Sinai Peninsula. Mesopotamia. Where's Mesopotamia? Carolyn?
Up to the east.
All right, way up to the east. What's the significance of Mesopotamia?
Fertile Triangle.
Yes, it was a part of the Fertile Crescent, and we know that who originated there? Abraham in Ur of Chaldee. Ur of Chaldee, yes, very good. Arabia is located here. Someone said here, and that's right, the Arabian desert. And then we talked about Egypt. Egypt is located here, and of course, along the Nile, and certainly into the Nile Delta, is the area where the land is productive, fertile. Have you found out how long the Nile River is? Yeah.
Over
4,200 feet. I knew it was a lot longer than
miles.
Yeah, I said feet. Miles, 4,200 miles. It originates way down here in some mountains, and the actual origin, I think we talked about earlier, is somewhat questionable even yet, because it depends upon the amount of snowfall and rainfall and so forth in the mountains. It finds its source from a number of lakes. Asia Minor. We saw that in this area here, and we know that the book of Revelation is addressed to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And we've noted that Cyprus on our map is this island where Paul first visited, having left the city of Antioch, Syria, on his first preaching tour. Can anyone tell me the cities where he stopped? One on this end, one on that end. Paphos, very good. On this end, what was it up here? Salamis, yes, very good. Salamis. And what very significant event occurred here in Paphos, Juan? Acts 13. Anybody? Very good. Elymas the sorcerer, that's right. Elymas the sorcerer was smitten blind, and that very much impressed the proconsul. Very good. And then here is our next map, the Isle of Crete. All right, appears here. And as we talked about in our study, I don't believe that we discussed this map in any great detail in our review. This is new for us. When we talk about the Isle of Crete, what's its significance to the travels of Paul, and in particular the shipwreck of Paul? Donna, you remember? Exactly right. He cautioned them here, and of course they wanted to get over to here to a port that was more favorable to winter in, and they put out from here. Instead of landing here, they wound up zigzagging and wound up at the little island over there called Malta. All right, very good. Well, that's right. Paul, in writing about the Cretans, said they're always liars. And Titus was sent to preach here on the Isle of Crete and to appoint elders and supply the things that were lacking. Very good. And then the wilderness of Sinai is located here. And I've asked you to, or at least some of you, to do some more study on the wilderness of Sinai. I'm not going to at this point, but in our study, as we were discussing the travels of the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, we noted a traditional route where they came across this portion of the Gulf of Suez, and the traditional route, as we see on most maps, came down here to Mount Sinai, up the Sinai Peninsula, and eventually into the Land of Promise. Other maps show that they came across up here just to the north of the Gulf of Suez and crossed the Gulf of Aqaba, either down here or up here, and that Mount Sinai is actually located over here. Now, you can do some research on that and satisfy yourself on that. It's some rather interesting study. But the wilderness of Sinai and the Sinai Peninsula, strangely enough, was named after the time of the traditional assignment of where Mount Sinai is located. And I thought that to be a very interesting study. Syria. Where do we locate Syria on this map? David, where's Syria? You just point me. I'll be there. Right over there. All right. All right, that's right. Syria, right over here. Now, in our study of the period of time between the Testaments, between Malachi and the beginning of the preaching of John, what happened? What's the significance of Syria? What did they do? What did the Syrians do between the Testaments? Randy?
They came down and conquered Jerusalem.
Oh, well, that's what they did. They polluted the altar. They offered swine on the altar in the temple and so forth. And this was then known as the period of
silence.
Yes, it was known as the period of silence, also known as the period of the Maccabees. This was the Maccabean revolt, where the Hasmonean dynasty opposed the onslaught of the Syrians. And then Ariat. Where's Ariat on our map? James? Okay.
Way up in there.
Up in there. All right, you're good. Ariat. What's the significance of Ariat?
Let's go with Ararat.
That'd be close. Where are we? That's where the ark landed. All right. Lebanon. Where's Lebanon? All right. Lebanon is here, and we know that what king of what city was responsible for the cutting down of the cedars of Lebanon to supply materials to build the temple? All right, Solomon was king in Israel. What king was responsible for the harvesting of the cedars? Hiram. Very good, Randy. And what was he king of? He was the king of Tyre. He was the king of Tyre, which is just right adjacent. Very good. All right. Cities. Jerusalem. Where's Jerusalem on our map? One.
Towards the bottom.
All right. And then Samaria. James? Where's Samaria?
Oh, you asked where?
Uh-huh. Like right there? Okay. All right. What's the significance of Samaria? Why is it important? All right. And
that's where you had, well, the Samaritan people, I think it was 1st or 2nd Kings 17.
All right, 2nd Kings. Exactly right. Of course, they wanted to help rebuild the temple and were excluded from doing so and created lots of problems. Exactly. Gaza. Where do we put that on the map? Richard?
All the way down the south.
All right. And then Bethlehem. Where do we put that? Carolyn?
A little bit west of the north end of the Dead Sea.
Okay. Very good. And then we have Caesarea. Jenny, where's Caesarea?
Along the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea.
All right, what's so important about it?
It's a port.
It was a port. Yeah. Exactly right. Sidon. David, where's Sidon on our map? You have that? Chris, you want to help him out?
I
all right. Bruce?
It's a little
bit above. It is. Way above. The Sidon, Tyre, and Sidon were natural ports. They were small. Caesarea, Jenny, was a man-made port. It was large, needless to say. And, of course, it's named after Caesar. Capernaum. Where is Capernaum, Donna? I'm picking on you this morning. Okay, Capernaum. Donna, while we're talking about Donna's, where is Capernaum?
Is it in between Sidon and Caesarea?
No.
North side of the Sea of Galilee.
All right, it's the north side of the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, what'd you say?
She says that is in between Sidon and Caesarea.
Oh! Well, I guess it is. I thought you meant over here. Yeah, but it's not on the coast. It's on the coast. It's on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. Yes. Okay. Well, I should move along. Cities. Joppa. Where do we find Joppa?
Above Jerusalem.
Above Jerusalem, over toward the coast. Yes. What's the significance of Joppa? Pardon me? Yes. He was sent for?
By Cornelius.
By Cornelius, yes. And he was in Joppa to come to Caesarea to teach the household.
Where did he raise Tabitha? Is that also Joppa?
Pardon me, Carolyn?
Did he raise Tabitha or Dorcas? Was that also Joppa?
Paul did. That's in Acts 9. And I believe that's right. You'll have to check me on that. I don't recall specifically.
That was the story with the little
yeah. Kid. Yeah. Okay. All right. Megiddo. Now, you see some of these cities that we're reviewing kind of go Old Testament, New Testament, back and forth. Jared? Up in here? All right. Good. Very good. Megiddo. Why is Megiddo so important, Bruce? This is not a topographical map, but if we had one, it would show us the significance of Megiddo. Yes. It is. It is, which means that most of the different nationalities wanted to control this valley of Jezreel where Megiddo was. Because whoever controlled that controlled really the commerce or the trade that flowed through there. Bethel. Betty Jo, where's Bethel? Okay. Bruce, tell me, where's Bethel?
Down by Jerusalem.
All right, it is down by Jerusalem. What is the significance, Old Testament significance, of Bethel? Chris, what happened there? The one in the back. Chris, one in the front. What happened at Bethel?
Not sure what you're looking for.
Okay. Well, you remember when Jeroboam became king. What did he do there?
Oh.
All right, he introduced calf worship and placed an altar there, worship to the calf. Hebron. Where's Hebron? Jenny?
North of Bethel.
Well, it would be a little bit south of Bethel. We know that Abraham spent a good bit of time in Hebron. Dan. Now, this is going to be significant to us when we look at another one. Jared, where's Dan? All right. Very good. Very good. I think this is working better than using my pointer because you're identifying these cities and so forth in relation to other places. That's good. Yes.
Did you add that? Because it's not online.
Yes, sir. I added that.
All right.
And I added that for a reason. I wanted it to be on the same map with something else. Okay. Yeah. Now, I just threw you a curve, didn't I? That's not on mine. That can't be up there. Yes, it's up there. Beersheba. Where is Beersheba? Jenny?
Southwest-ish.
All right, way down there. Now, why, Richard, do you think I wanted Dan and Beersheba on the same map?
Because that's the limits of Palestine.
That's the limits of Palestine. You see the expression from Dan to Beersheba a number of times, and it just didn't seem quite right to me to illustrate that point when they were not on the same map. So I moved it. Tyre. Where is Tyre? Rick? Pardon me? It's up there. Yeah, Tyre. What was the significance of Tyre and Sidon? One of the ports. That's right. One of the ports. Interestingly enough, Randy, I think you were talking about Lebanon and Hiram, and he's gone. Okay. Carolyn, I'll tell you, and you can tell him. All right. Hiram, king of Tyre, who cut the cedars from Mount Lebanon up here during the time of the building of the temple in Jerusalem, way down here, during the days of King Solomon. We've got to find a way to get the cedars from the mountain to Jerusalem. Now, on our topographical map, we noted that Jerusalem on up through here is what? Mountainous. Central Palestine is mountainous. So how did Hiram and Solomon determine to get the logs to Jerusalem?
Decided to float them.
That's right. They were brought down the mountain and they were put in the ocean and they were floated down and then they were brought over to Jerusalem. Very good. Very good. Nazareth. Where is Nazareth? David? Nazareth. Johnny? All right. Why is it so important to our study? Jesus was of Nazareth. There was a saying that prevailed during that time. Can you tell me what it was? Nothing good ever come out of Nazareth. That's right. Damascus. Where is Damascus? One?
Like
all right. Now, we had that on another map, didn't we? I think we did.
Well, before you leave this one that has Joppa,
okay,
you need to make a correction. So it was Peter that went from Lydda after raising Aeneas, went to Joppa to raise Dorcas.
Okay.
And went from there to Caesarea.
It was not Paul. Okay. I said Acts 9.
It is Acts 9.
Yeah, that was before
Paul. On the left-hand page at the top of the column.
Yeah, exactly right. It is. But that was before Paul. That's right. And it was Paul that was sent for in Joppa. No, it's still Peter that was sent for in Joppa. So the significance of Joppa is in its relationship to Peter. Okay, very good. Thank you. Regions. Galilee. Where is Galilee? Bruce? The region of Galilee. Well, no, it's closer to something else. It's next to the Sea of Galilee. Yeah. Now that's good. It would be next to the Sea of Galilee. Jake, tell me where Judea is. Judea. Amber, if you want to, help him out. Where's Judea? All right, we're coming down south. And of course, now we need to ask the question, what's the relevance of our study or to our study of the region of Galilee? That's true. That wasn't what I was thinking about. But what else occurred there? He did a lot of healing and a lot of preaching in Galilee. Yes. And I want to go back for just a moment. Judea. Why is Judea so important to our study? Pardon me?
Perfect.
What did he say?
A lot of stuff
happened there. That's hard. All right, that's true. But Judea was the land or the province from which Jesus came. And that was a matter of prophecy. And then Edom of Old Testament. Now, when you look at some of these, I want you to think who these originated with. Edom of the Old Testament. Where do I find that on the map? Edom. All right, we talk about the Edomites, south of the Dead Sea. South of the Dead Sea. Who did the Edomites descend from?
Esau.
Very good. Ammon. Where do we put that on the map? All right. The Ammonites. From whom did the Ammonites descend? Y'all really making this tough, aren't you? All right, the Ammonites came from Ammon, Richard tells us. And who was Ammon?
Not a clue.
Who?
Not a clue.
Not a clue? Okay. He was one of the sons of Lot. Ah. And then Moab.
Was that one of the sons of Lot? He only had one daughter.
Yes. Lot had Moab and Ammon through his daughters. And this started peoples, nationalities of peoples that were always a thorn in the side of the Israelites. All right? And then Philistia, where do we locate the Philistines? All right, way on the west side. Now, why is the land of the Philistines so significant? What often happened over and over and over and over with the Philistines? Battles, that's right. In particular, during the time of Saul and David. Saul and David. Phoenicia. Where is Phoenicia on our map? Johnny?
North.
North. All right, way north. way north. Phoenicia. Now, if you look, we've got Phoenicia up here in the area near the mountains of Lebanon. Okay? So you associate those together. Syria. We've looked at that before. Where's Syria? Jared? Okay. You're good. The east of Phoenicia. Gilead. The land of Gilead. Known for cattle and sheep grazing. Where is it? Alright, there's one place left on our map. Okay, one place left. Gilead, right along the Jordan River, of course, up over the plateau and then this land here. Alright, physical features of the land. Still, we're looking at the land of Palestine, the Valley of Jezreel. We talked about that when we talked about the city of Megiddo. Where's the Valley of Jezreel? Alright, just where the hook is. Speaking of the hook, this little projectory right here, what is that?
Mount Carmel.
Mount Carmel. What happened there?
The prophets of what's his name got killed?
The prophets of Baal got killed there. Who killed them?
God did.
God did. That's right. And of course we see that Elijah was the prophet of God during this time. Mount Carmel, we've got that already. Mount Lebanon, we've talked about that already. Mount Hermon, we've talked about that, but tell me where it's located. Mount Hermon.
Beginning of the Jordan.
Alright, that's where the Jordan River essentially has its beginning as we look up here at Mount Hermon, about 10,000 feet elevation. This little lake here on our map doesn't exist anymore, I understand. That's Lake Hula, if you're looking on a map. And my understanding now is that currently that has been filled in and they farm that. But be that as it may, that's where it's located on our map. The Dead Sea. Jake, where's the Dead Sea on our map? Yeah, right down here. The Dead Sea. And what's its elevation? Negative 1,300 feet, a little over, exactly. That's very important to our study because when we talk about the wilderness, folks going over into the wilderness, we're talking about them going over into this area, generally west of the Dead Sea. The Jordan River, where's that on our map, Donna? In between the two. The Jordan River is between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Yarmouk River. Now, these may stretch your brain just a little. Excellent. Excellent. Very good. And then where is the Jabbok River? Richard?
One in the middle.
One in the middle. And, of course, then the Arnon. Bruce? This one or this one?
Right here.
Right here?
Right here?
Okay. All right. The Zered River is located where, Donna? All right. Down here on the bottom. Very good. Now, notice, if you would please, that this area is elevation about 3,000 feet. This area over here is about 3,000 feet. This just a smidgen higher. And what does that tell you then about this area? Pardon me?
It's in a ravine.
It's in a ravine, yes. It's called the Jordan River Valley, and it's really, really steep on the sides, especially down in this portion. The Sea of Galilee, where is that, Mom? That's up there at the top, the Sea of Galilee. And the Mediterranean Sea. Jenny? All right, it's up here. Now, one of the things that I want you to see on this map in particular is to note some landmarks from which you can go, and you've done some of that. When you look at a map like this, for example, what becomes some of the major points on this map that help you relate where other things are located? All right, the bodies of water. Very good. We've got the Mediterranean Sea, the Jordan River, the Sea of Galilee, and the Dead Sea. Bodies of water. That'll help you significantly. Now, when we talk about the Mediterranean Sea, why was the land around the Mediterranean Sea so diligently sought after?
Commerce.
Yes. Whoever controlled the sea controlled the wealth of commerce. Whoever controlled this little strip of land controlled the commerce around the Mediterranean Sea. Because just east of this little strip of land, what is there? Desert. That's right. So the trade routes ran through here. There were three of them that ran through the land of Palestine. All right, very good. Now that concludes our study of history and geography of the Bible. Now, Richard, you write that down.
236.
We've concluded our study of the history and geography of the Bible.